This is the SNL Vaultcast.
Everybody, I'm small.
I'm large. Medium is still gone. But youth large is back.
Yay, I'm back.
He's not rehearsing with his band.
It's because I fucked up my shoulder.
He's not playing kazoo this week.
No.
But hey, how about that Jurassic Park 3D, huh?
I want to go see it.
I have not seen it, but
I was supposed to.
Dude, the 3D just fuck with my head so bad.
We don't care.
So bad.
Fuck your mom.
The only 3D movie I ever saw, and this was the poorest choice that I could have ever had, was Jackass 3D.
Oh my god.
That was the best choice.
Probably the best use of 3D since Amityville 3D.
That was the first and last 3D movie I went to go see in theaters.
That's the pinnacle.
That's the best 3D usage since the Master System's 3D goggles.
You had to really stretch for that one, didn't you?
If you've seen them, you understand.
I forgot that shit existed.
They come into my store now and then, and I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Let me know next time a pair shows up.
They are always messed up. Like, somebody literally... You know those things? I guess it was like a 90s thing. They're like plastic strings that you can weave together to make bracelets.
Yeah.
Somebody literally tried to make an extra... Basically, like, we had a pair of goggles coming, and the box was in good shape. But you pull the goggles out, and one of the arms of the glasses is missing. Mm. And tied to it is one of these plastic string things. Like, they basically had tried... They'd put the goggles on and then, like, tie it onto their other ear. I never really understood exactly what is happening in that.
Wow. But
anyway.
That's a shame.
Reader mail. Do we have reader mail?
Let's see. Reader mail. Do we have reader mail?
Reader mail.
No. Holy shit, we do.
What?
I guess that's what happens when you beg people on Facebook to email us.
Shh, don't give away our trade secrets.
I mean, people like our show enough to mail.
We're the number one gaming podcast on the internet right now. Don't you
know? We're the number one gaming podcast in northeastern Pennsylvania.
We are the number one gaming vault cast on the gaming vault.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
We're number one. We're number one.
Okay, Smitty Werther, Jaegerman Jensen.
Let's see. What email do we have?
I never asked for this.
Do you want to make your penis larger?
That is not reader mail.
Oh,
that is spam.
That's your mail.
Okay, then
you're
that's not
the
mail.
Spam folder.
That's not mail. That's not mail.
That's a female.
Oh, we got a comment on a YouTube video. I got an email about that. It's from Jesse Derona, who says, "I love Tomb Raider, but I agree the multiplayer was terrible."
Thank you. Thank you for that contribution. Moving on. Thanks for coming into work today.
Thanks for coming to work today.
Next one, Leslie Stewart. You know her, don't you?
I kind of know her.
You going to say hi?
We're Facebook friends. Hi.
Hello.
I hope you're listening to this.
I hope
we haven't offended you already.
How much do you love Animal Crossing? Because I love it. Okay, that's all. Smiley face.
The majority of my Animal Crossing experience is the "Hey Ash, what you playing?" episode.
Pooped. Or the, what was it, Awesome Crossing?
I haven't seen it.
You know the Metal Gear Awesome things?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's that one. It's like, you can go visit your friends in Poop Town. We're like, well, I don't know. I was supposed to spend Christmas in Dickville.
Dickville.
But
I love Animal Crossing, so fuck you guys.
I tried. It's one of those kind of things where it's like, you know, you really got to delve
in the
mood
for it.
A lot of fucking time
into
it.
And you have to be in the mood for it.
Yep.
I loved it on GameCube. I loved it more that you could hack the save files.
Joe's...
Ashley's playing now.
Yeah, Joe's girlfriend is playing it right now.
Your Facebook is blowing up right now. I'm turning your speakers down.
No, I need to know when the Facebook posts hit so I can check my phone and feel important.
Just open Facebook on your computer.
Yeah.
It is open. That's why it's going...
Yeah, those are actual messages, though.
Yeah, no, and they go right to my phone, too.
Oh, well, then fucking answer them.
Well, I just did, actually, so...
Was it a reader question?
I'm not at liberty to say.
That's a big fat no.
All right,
that's a nobody loves us. But yeah, I love Animal Crossing. I am eagerly, eagerly awaiting the 3DS version that comes out this summer.
Word.
Are they going to mess around with like a Wii U version, maybe?
No? I'm sure in time, but
like, yeah, may take a while before they actually figure out, hey, we should probably make one of these.
I just wasn't like, I was probably neck deep in a Command and Conquer game when Animal Crossing came out.
Is that what you're calling it now?
Balls deep.
a turtleneck for some of you out there.
Got it.
If you get it. I just never played it. I just never got around to it, I guess. What's the next question? Do we have another?
All right, next question. James Holland.
What up, buddy?
Cactus.
That's
who
me.
Who the fuck is your Cactus?
That's me. I play airsoft with this man. Well, I used to. And my call sign was Cactus.
You're like the least prickly looking person I've ever met.
Talk
really?
To some of the women I've loved.
Open your eyes.
Well, yeah.
Look at his face.
Yeah, you look who's rocking the neck beard now, buddy. So
gotta, says gotta says the guy with neck. The full.
Yeah, but
beard.
He's got a short neck, so it doesn't look that bad.
I just,
he's got a small dome.
I just have four chins, so I'm covering.
So you have four neck beards.
I'm on two. I'm hoping to decrease.
And you just
that
have
number.
A ball sack on your.
Anyway,
team. I do.
The question.
Cactus, I have a gaming question for you. So we're out of this one.
Yeah.
What do you think the best way for me to boost my Minecraft performance? Should there be an is in there somewhere?
Start drinking lots of Red Bull 24/7. Quit your job. Quit your family. Kill your girlfriend. Just never stop mining, and you'll be okay.
I just feel like there should be an is in that sentence somewhere.
If you want to,
is the best way for me to boost my Minecraft performance?
That's in brackets.
I don't know if he means his gameplay performance, or
get
his,
a better graphics card,
or his actual computer performance.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, right. Address that one instead.
Address
the computer.
If you're trying to play more Minecraft and get better at it, kill everyone you know and just do nothing but play Minecraft. And drink, never sleep, drink lots of Red Bull. If you're trying to increase your computer performance, get on my level. Buy a $500 graphics card.
I mean,
no,
and make sure that your Java is being taken care of by your actual graphics card, as opposed to
check your drivers.
Yeah,
you know, update everything that it needs to run. Sometimes texture packs can help, too.
Yes,
sometimes you can change the textures and make the game not only look better, but run better, and add things to it. Like,
I forget which one I installed on mine, but it's pretty much like, if you Google search like texture packs for Minecraft, it's pretty much like the be-all, end-all, go-to one that everybody starts with. And I noticed like frame rate increases, and even just like, obviously it made me want to play it a little bit more because it looked a little nicer. I was a little bit more like, you know, submersed into the actual area as opposed to just like, wow, that block of grass looks a lot like that block of sand.
And when you get bored with it, go look up Ace of Spades, and preferably one of the older versions, not the newer one that came out, although the newer one is mad fun. It is basically if you took Minecraft and merged it with World War One. That is a very fun game. It will.
That is a
good
side
distraction. No, it's not like Day of Defeat.
It's kind of
because of bolt action rifles.
Yeah, right.
But it's think Minecraft, but the map has a certain size,
Minecraft.
A huge size, but it's a specified size. You know what I mean?
Specified.
And it's capture the flag, but you can dig and build, and everybody has bolt-action rifles.
Yep.
It's hysterical.
And also, keep up on your updates, because the Minecraft updates, they'll sometimes sneak some in where it makes, like, huge fucking changes to the way that you would create certain things in the game or use certain resources. So make sure to check your patch notes and shit like that and keep up on that.
You guys are fucking nerds.
Anyway.
Next question is from gofuckyourself@gmail.com. Says, what the hell does the SML stand for?
It stands for...
First,
Super Monkey Lesions.
Yourself.
Super Monkey Lesions.
Yep, Super Monkey Lesions. That was my favorite one.
Really stood for small, medium, large, because Tim is small, Bogue is kind of medium-sized, and I am
The whole podcast started as a joke. But if you really sent in that question and Joe's not just making it up, you're an idiot because of the fact that it says it in the actual email address.
Yeah, shut up.
Joe made it up, guys.
Yes, derp. I made it up.
Derp! to derp derp.
This is what we get. This is what happens when we let somebody control the man.
I still think without Bo here for a while, it's just going to be Squishy Man Love Podcast.
Squishy Man
Love. Squishy Man Love.
We're also debating
changing the name of the podcast. I'm sure my fiance will love to hear that.
We're also debating changing the name of the podcast every 10 or so episodes.
So maybe if you want to send in suggestions of what the S, M, and the L should stand for every single episode, you could send those to our email as well.
Suck my labia.
No, yeah. We're supposed to be a professional gaming podcast. We can't talk about labias and penises
Super Mario
all the time.
Land podcast.
No. Because that's just...
No,
game is the shit.
If somebody... All right, we'll do this. In between, we'll do a contest for the next 10 weeks. The next 10 episodes, and we will promote this. We'll put this on the write-ins. Whoever sends us in what we think is the funniest name, and we'll build them up, and we'll read them all off at episode 20. We'll celebrate at episode 20. We'll have a party. Whoever sends us in the funniest name, we'll give them, like, a GameStop gift card or a...
Maybe we could send them some sort of care package with a bunch of bullshit.
We'll send you a fun little
swag pack or...
Yeah, we'll send you a swag pack. It might be full of flesh.
It's going to be full of...
That's an expense... Hey, man.
Bringing it back. Bringing it back.
That would be an expensive fucking swag bag.
Fleshlights and Shaq Fu.
So that THQ.
I do have some leftover swag from PAX that I could possibly put into
Yeah, we could send some cool stuff. So whoever sends in the funniest one, we'll almost do it like a Cards Against Humanity thing.
Word. Yeah. We are Cards Ours.
And we will send you a care package.
Yeah.
That means you have to actually enter, though. So small, medium, large podcast.
Podcast.
At the Gmails.
At the mails of the G.
Small, medium, large podcast. That's what we should
Bod.
Anyway,
no one wants to see this bod.
So first, wait, there's no more questions, right?
No, wait, there's still
more. Oh, shut the fuck up.
We got more.
Really? This is exciting.
That's what self-whoring does for us.
I'm excited.
John, I'm going to butcher this name. John Gongliewski.
Gongoleski.
Wait, whoa, what?
Just call him Gongo. Gongo's his nickname.
Okay, is it Gong?
Gongo. What's up, Gongo?
Gongo.
How are you?
Hi, Gongo.
Shut your horn out. What do you think about the Kickstarter phenomenon in games like Wasteland 2 and Torment Tides of Numenera?
Is that the... I think that's the... Correct me if I'm wrong, Gongo, but I think Torment is the Planescape Torment successor that they're doing that just became the biggest gaming Kickstarter of all time. I think that was the news story.
Possibly. The only
Google,
real...
Google.
You...
It's You're all the way over there.
Oh, it's so hard to just reach over one right, foot.
What am I searching?
Go to the browser in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then Googles.
Googles?
You Googles the Planescape Torment successor. I know you can't spell successor, but
Shut
Google
up.
Will help. In Chrome, the address bar is also a search bar, so
Torment.
Way to waste all of our viewers' time.
God damn it,
successor.
Huber.
Yeah, successor. Metal Gear. Now you click
yeah,
on
Planescape
the thing.
Torment successor is now the biggest Kickstarter. All
right, now click on the link. What's the name of it?
What's the name?
I need to know the name. Colonel, what's
Torment
the name?
Tides of Numenera?
Yeah, so that is the... Okay.
Torment Tides of Numenuma.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Tides of Numenuma. Yeah.
I think Kickstarter's great. I think it's...
I
think that we're going to see... I mean, I've been talking about how we're going into this new age of mobile games and digital distribution and how we're going to see consoles disappear over the next decade. And this is sort of what's going to happen is we're going to see this new market form where people who grew up playing games are going to be making the games that we're going to play because these people are going to go out and say, man, you know, I really want to make this type of game. And I know these big companies aren't going to do it because they're all about these, you know, microtransactions and forcing multiplayer on games that shouldn't have multiplayer and giving us bullshit we don't want and then being mad when nobody buys the game because it's not what anybody wanted. So what Kickstarter is allowing is people like, what's up, Kunal?
what app?
To go out and make a little company and do a Kickstarter and get the money they need to produce a game that they think people will like because they are the gamers that play these games or have been playing these games for years. And it allows us to see things like the, you know, successor to Planescape Torment or whatever, you know. I mean, any of these games that might not have gotten made because big companies don't think there's a market for it, but there's people out there who are willing to pay for it. It lets people go out and make a very small risk endeavor, and the game gets made. And if it gets big after that, then they'll, you know, more power to them. They'll make money from these sales after the Kickstarter.
Any Kickstarters that you've backed?
I backed Planetary Annihilation, which is an awesome-looking RTS. It's an RTS done by the guys who did stuff like Supreme Commander, and it is a massive, massive RTS. I think it's going to support up to 40 players at a time.
That's way too many.
No, here's the thing. The fights take place in a solar system, so there's multiple planets that will have multiple people on them. And they're actual spherical planets that you can run all the way around and have your armies fight all the way around. Then you can launch your builder to another planet and have them keep building there. And then you can build on that planet a thing that will launch units back at the other planet. Or you could build thrusters on an asteroid and launch the asteroid at the planet.
So it's kind of like you take like a very, very minuscule Sins of a Solar Empire-esque like... bounce from thing to thing to thing to thing, but put it on a smaller scale. Like, if you were to take, like, this is going to be the worst reference ever. If you take Spore and had it where it was like you had the ground level of everything, and then you had like the space level of everything, you can have the RTS version of like all the stuff on the.
Well, no. What it basically is, think of a typical RTS. You build your base, you build your army, and you roll it out to fight the other army.
Word.
Usually, it supports max of 8 players.
Yeah. Mainly because of like. Map size.
Well, maybe because of map size and leading up to recently the processing ability of game systems and computers hasn't been high enough to render thousands of units that would collide with each other.
Yeah.
But
math is hard.
It's the same principle, but instead of it being a flat map, it's a round map. And then what they're doing from there is they're making it so that now it's a 3D space that this map actually exists in, and you can
hop from place.
Yeah, it's once when you look at it, it makes complete sense to you. But it's just you can.
I understand the concept. I haven't seen anything of it, but
yeah, the map is just enormous. I know what you mean. And there's different surfaces you can build on, which happen to be planets. And there's going to be orbital weapons too, apparently. Which
I'm like the worst guy ever at RTSs. So
yeah, no, I'm probably the only one here.
So what about you? Any Kickstarters?
I hardly ever like. Give people money online because I'm just like I'm fucking.
So I'll take that as a no.
There is a lot of stuff that I wanted to back, and at least there's one in particular that got backed enough that it got supported and is actually being put out right now. I think the PC beta is out right now, but Soulforge.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for that.
Soulforge is I believe it's being created by some of the people that worked with Ascension.
It's the same company as Ascension, but the guys who did Ascension originally were some of the creators of Magic the Gathering.
Well, yeah, and then there's some Magic pros like Brian Kibler that are kind of like hand-in-hand working with the Soulforge thing too, but it's purely digital. It's not a trading card-based kind of thing, but it's like a digital trading card game.
Yeah, for anyone who's familiar with Duels of the Planeswalkers, the digital Magic the Gathering thing, that's all pre-constructed decks. There's no individual cards.
Well, you can make... custom decks and so forth.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's similar principle.
It's similar principle, but it's a turn-based thing, card game kind of thing, but some of the mechanics can only really be utilized on a digital front, because you'll see, like, when you play a certain card and something happens to it, it will level up to a certain kind of thing. The only way that you'd be able to keep track of something like that properly is on a digital front. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and plus, like, some of the math that's involved with it is on a much grander scale, so it might be a little bit more difficult for, like, casual players to bump into if there wasn't something already tracking it for you, which it does on a digital front as well. But what's cool about this is it's on... Right now it's available on iOS.
It's on the iPad. It's coming to Android and Steam very soon.
Yeah. But what's cool is if you have an account... for this, and the way that you would actually purchase the stuff for it, it's like you pay $5 and you have a deck of, you get a new deck of cards that's like whatever kind of deck that you would buy of that creature type or style type or whatever, and then you could take those individual cards and make your own deck out of it and, you know, do what you want with it. But it's like five bucks a deck, which really isn't that bad.
Yeah.
As far as I know, you're not going to be able to buy individual cards. So it's not going to be one of those kind of things where there's going to be this huge economy-based thing where it's like, well, this card is worth a lot right now, and this one's not, and da-da-da. Like, it's just, no, straight up, give us this much money, you'll get all these cards right here. It's basically like a predetermined booster pack, so to speak. But whatever you purchase through your account, regardless of if you're playing it on your iPad or your Android device or your PC, everything goes across to whatever platform because you log into your account information.
That's a good idea.
So everything that you've got, regardless of what you're going to play it on, is exactly the same, which I think is really fantastic because nice. I'm going to be able to play it on my PC and on my phone, and nothing's going to be different.
That's cool. I've only backed one Kickstarter so far, and that was for Overclocked Remix. They're doing a Final Fantasy... God, it's been so long I don't remember. I think it's Final Fantasy VI album project, and they ended up including like Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy I to all these backers, and I'm very eager for it to actually come out. I want to find out which one it is, because I feel like a dick for not knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy VI Kickstarter, and it's coming with shitloads of albums with it.
Yeah, I actually, when we went to PAX, they had a huge thing on Kickstarter.
Talk about the Rock Band. Oh, did you get to
talk about it? I kind of mentioned it to him just in short, yeah, but I definitely haven't mentioned it on here.
Yeah, keep going. We'll talk about it another
time. Yeah, that's fine. But the at PAX, they had a whole arcade that was based on just Kickstarter projects.
That's cool.
So you were able to go in there and talk to the people that were making the games, and get like live demos and stuff like that of things that you could currently back through Kickstarter. Like Kickstarter's making a huge impact on the gaming industry.
One thing that I really want to kickstart, and there's 3 days left, so hun, I don't know if we could pull this off, but Shovel Knight. Have you seen anything on that?
Not a clue.
It's from Yacht Club Games, which is an offshoot. A couple of the guys from Way Forward are doing this. It's just old school. It's a knight. His weapon is a shovel. So, Shovel Knight.
Got it.
Old school, retro style platformer, action platformer. It looks friggin' awesome. They were asking for $75,000. With 3 days left, they're up to $200,000.
Sweet.
Which is awesome for them.
See, I love when, like, Kickstarters actually work. I know one or two people that have put together Kickstarters trying to do stuff like, you know, they want to record a demo of some of their music and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I love Way Forward, so
yeah,
the fact that some of the guys from there are doing something.
Well, one of the other things I absolutely love about Kickstarter, and this comes back to the Planetary Annihilation thing, is you can get goodies. I love goodies.
Yeah.
And what I got with this is I'm getting an original, like, old-school PC game, big-box version of the game.
Nice.
I'm getting a bunch of alpha and beta keys that I can give out to friends. I'm getting three little figurines of the robot commander, different styled robot commanders you can play as in the game. I'm getting a USB stick that will also look like a robot that has the game on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I get a poster, too. I get a shirt. And there's different design shirts that you could choose from.
Sweet.
Like, all of this awesome, awesome stuff. And I shelled out $100 for this, and gladly.
But it's one of those kind of things where it's like, and this almost comes back to the conversation that we've had on a past episode, it was the whole collector's edition stuff.
Yeah.
Like, with Kickstarter, it's like you can really have a ton of different versions of a quote-unquote collector's edition. Mm-hmm.
It's like customizable collector's
edition. So it's like, if you want to spend this much on the game, you could do that. If you want to spend a little bit extra and get a little bit extra, you can. If you want to spend a lot of bit extra and get a lot of bit extra, cool. Like, it's really, you can kind of make it your own. You can set a certain level of their backing program and just be like, you know what, I feel like this is the collector's edition to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really... I think that's really important going forward, too, because like you said, we talked about the collector's edition thing, and I've been disappointed by some collector's editions in the past. I love goodies, but I want ones that are interesting to me. And with Kickstarter, they do that, where you could get you know, you could get this level and get this stuff. Or you could be like, man, you know, I could just spend a little bit more and get three little fucking robot figurines. Or, you know, like, they seem to put more effort into it because they know the people that are going to be buying this are the people who are really going to enjoy it. It's not, it's not some hokey-ass statue. It's not some, you know, overly crazy, you know, mass-produced thing that...
They're rewarding people who are helping them create a game.
And it's usually things that people are really going to dig because they actually put more thought into it than a marketing team being like, oh, man, you're gonna want, they're going to want 30 different types of statues in their fucking living room by the end
of
this year.
Know what? The other thing is, too, I feel like what you get in Class A title collector's edition things and how much they cost... I feel like I get so much more when it comes to the independent Kickstarter things.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah.
Like, it feels like...
Because they're producing them to demand instead of mass-producing them and having thousands left over in a warehouse.
Well, it becomes more of a collector's item than a limited edition, too, because you see a lot of these collector's editions either end up... You can't get your hands on them because somebody at GameStop fucked up your pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
Or, the Ni No Kuni thing happened.
Yeah.
You know, or a company fucks up, like the Borderlands loot chest. Lots of things.
What's fucked up there?
They didn't produce enough of them. Like, there's a huge demand.
Well, they were pretty forward with the fact that if you want it, pre-order it fast.
But there was once again a problem where people who had pre-ordered it didn't get them. Randy Pitchford.
I didn't hear anything.
I know a lot of people.
Pitchford addressed this at the Gearbox panel. That's why they're doing the diamond plated loot chest.
Yeah. Which even then, the diamond plated one, they're only going to do what?
5,000.
Like 5,000.
But they said that if they sell out, they will.
They said it wouldn't be the same. They said if demand is high enough, they will do a second run, but it will not have the certificate with it that the original will have.
Yeah, but it'll still be the loot chest.
It'll still be the diamond plate.
But it won't be as much of a collector's item.
Yeah,
only the original 5,000.
If you just want a cool-ass loot chest, the only thing you're missing is a certificate.
Yeah.
So for the most part, you're getting the same thing. Last thing on the Kickstarter front is that Shovel Knight one. The big thing that I want to do is they have a $60 package that I like this. It's a digital game, and it comes with a digital instruction book, but the $60 package has a printed instruction manual.
Yeah, a lot of Kickstarters do
like
stuff like that.
Real games today don't have printed instruction manuals.
Yeah.
The
other thing that I I'm looking into doing a Kickstarter. I'm actually going to be, we're going to be kind of planning it out this weekend for one of my filming projects.
Tim Starter.
Right. For a navigation system called a Tim-Tim.
Hey.
Joe shakes his head. We got to look into doing Kickstarter, and what's nice about it is, like, yes, I have all of this recording equipment. I have, filming and audio equipment, and I have a lot of the technical know-how to make a film. But what I realized over the years of doing this is that, I mean, to really get something done, to really get something that looks good done, is you have to pay professional people. You cannot... I mean, you can make a movie on your own, but, I mean, I've been working on this thing for a long time, and it's to the point where I have to move on with my life and let my project go, my dream project go, if I don't get any real forward momentum on it soon. I have to put it on the back burner. I mean, this is, you can see my wall right now, like there's the layout for the trailer for the One Web series. There's the outline for the book. This is concept art. There's some pieces of the technology that's in the story Bible. I mean, I've got things laid out everywhere so I can just focus on it when I need to.
You just got to make it happen.
Yeah, and what's funny is the Kickstarter isn't even for this. It's for a short film that leads into it. And it's given friends of mine good opportunities who have done things where they've got all this groundwork done, and what it allows them to do, or people like me to do, is finish it. It's like, cool, everything's ready to go, we just need to shoot it. Let's get some money, let's hire some good actors, let's hire some good people who can do like the CG work, and let's get it done in like a month or two. And then people can, we can share the story. It's really, really letting people who have an idea get it done and get it out there for people to enjoy.
Well, that's why I'm going to do one for my musical project.
I would donate $8.
Like, the way that I'm at right now, I have a decent amount of gear that I've accrued over a couple of years, to do an okay recording of what I want to do musically? Sure. Problem is, I don't want it to be okay. if you're going to set out to really do something special and something that you're going to be proud of, you want it to be the best that it can be. And you don't want to shortchange anyone that's going to show interest of it. And that's why, like, I would want to do a Kickstarter to, you know, go in and take a lot of the core scratch tracks and everything that I've done to a professional studio.
Why
and
are you
get
scratching the tracks?
Fuck. He's a DJ.
But take those into a professional studio and have a producer sit down with me and just be like, well,
what the fuck did you do here?
Basically. Yeah. No, because...
What is wrong with you? Are you autistic?
Well, no, that is a big part of it. Like, with my writing these stories to get filmed, I know my screenplay sucks, but I'm going to take it to somebody and they're going to tell me it sucks. I'm like, I know. I'm like, well, what do I do to fix it? Because I this is new.
Yeah.
But you got to pay those people.
Yeah. Right.
And
nothing in this world is free.
Yeah.
Except for herpes.
Yay.
And then sometimes...
Well, high five.
Sometimes,
some people
have paid for it unintentionally.
Herpes!
There you go.
Oh, God. Oh, God. There is a high five.
Unknowingly.
Herpes. A herpes high five.
Herpes high five.
But,
you now have herpes.
With the subject, the music,
yeah.
I want to mention this because he is near and dear to my heart, but the soundtrack for Shovel Knight is going to be done by friend of the show, Jake Vert Kaufman.
Oh, sweet.
So, the man that we all love for Double Dragon Neon.
Nice.
Is doing the soundtrack for Shovel Knight.
That's sweet. Wait,
that
he's a friend of the show?
Well, he's my friend, so.
Can we get him on the podcast one day and talk Double Dragon?
Could we
play Double Dragon with him?
If we ever get something figured out with doing it online, maybe he'll do it.
Let's fly out
Let's
to California
go.
Tomorrow.
Let's roll.
You buying the plane tickets?
Of course.
Let's get some fucking Sky Miles.
If you're buying the tickets, I'm in. But $60 package has the soundtrack with it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's why I love Jay Kaufman.
Do we have any more questions?
You know what other?
Do we have any more? We got to move on. We've been doing this for like 3 hours now.
Well, that's because Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter's a good
topic. It's about
Thanks, Gongo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gongo. Next question from... God damn it.
You know where we're at? We get...
Oh, God. Alex. I know where this is going. Let me read it.
Go ahead.
I'm going to read it.
Read it aloud.
Which one of you has the nicest butt? This is important.
The nicest?
The nicest.
I have the biggest.
This might be tough.
I'm going to go with Ashley. Ashley has the nicest butt out of...
Say your wife has the nicest butt. That's a good call.
Good save.
That's a good
Look
call.
Look at us.
I don't know.
Hey,
I'm probably the most fit out of the room, so... But I have no ass.
Are we going to have to go with show and tell here?
I have a decent ass, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was going to say, Huber's ass?
I have an okay ass. Nope. Nope.
Then I can't jump.
I'm going by what has been... told to me by
Turn
other
around,
people.
Stand up. Twirl for me.
Ashley, how's my ass?
I like it.
See, Ashley likes my ass.
Well, your wife better like your ass.
No, she doesn't have to. She knows full and well that she doesn't have to.
Thank you, Alex, for your contribution. I knew there was going to be one.
I'm going to say...
I knew there was going to be one question.
I'm going to nominate myself. I'm just going to say that. For nicest ass.
Well, you know what?
It's proportional. It's proportional. There's... I can grab a handful... I've done it.
You know what? Let's give this one to Bogue.
I can't say I've ever looked at his ass before.
That's because he's never been to one of our parties.
Let's call him. Call him. Put him on speaker right now. Bogue.
He's probably with Jen, so I don't want to bug him.
Which I just found out about not too long ago. Yeah, so
I'm gonna call Kurt.
Best wishes.
Ashley, what do you think of Bogue's ass?
We're gonna get Kurt on
nice
the air.
Ass.
What did we call? What did we make Kurt's name? I can't remember what Kurt's name
was.
What
was Kurt's name?
Kurt was on the.
Do we really have to spend this much time on an ass?
We have to. We have to narrow this down.
Yeah, but if we don't give them a definitive answer, then we've kind of failed.
I said, Bogue.
This is reader mail.
Bogue has gone
real serious business.
Bogue has gone from party to party, just getting naked. Like the longest time he was just naked. Bogue.
If we don't. Get to the if we don't answer the reader mail questions, no one's gonna write it.
But he doesn't know Bogue.
I know Bogue.
No.
He doesn't know.
This is just for today. This is just for us. He knows all of us. He's met you once.
This is
Kurt. First of all, you're on speakerphone.
Hi.
Second of all, you're on the podcast. Oh, he hung up.
He hung up on you.
I think he hates speakerphone, actually. I forgot.
Okay, so we're just giving this one to Bo.
No, it's got to be done.
Must be done.
Okay, you're not on speakerphone this time.
Okay, you're not.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, right.
All right, we're doing the podcast. That's why I have you on speakerphone.
Okay.
We got a reader mail question in. That we need a third party to.
It says it's important.
Yeah, it says it's very important. The reader question said, and we need a third party to answer this because we're all too biased.
Okay.
But what out of me, Joe, and Huber, who has the nicest butt?
Oh Jesus Christ! I can't be unbiased. I can't be unbiased about your asses because all your asses are so fine. It's like two really, really muscular hamsters fighting under a parachute for a fucking grape. It's just amazing to behold them in motion. I swear to God, if I could put your asses on my mantle and have a three-ass mantelpiece, I would do that. I would have them cast in bronze. I would polish them every day. Your asses are amazing.
All right, that's it.
So the answer to the question is then, all of our asses
combined
are the nicest asses.
He's just like, I fucking hate
you. There is no nicest ass between you three, because you three have the nicest asses I've ever seen. It's like trying to say which fucking Japanese god is the best one. There is no best one. They all fucking rule.
All right, thank you very much, Kurt.
No problem.
Bye, Kurt.
Bye-bye.
Hey, y'all can go fuck off now.
Bye.
Okay, so that was fair. That was fair.
So, yeah. So, to answer your question,
all of us.
I still say we give it to Bogue.
All of us.
In memory of Bogue.
All of us. He's not dead.
He's just still not alive. Here.
He's not. He's probably not going to be with us for a while. Like 7 months.
We'll surprise him. We'll do the podcast at his house one day.
Yeah.
We'll go down there. We'll bring cake or herpes and surprise him.
We'll bring crunchy snacks.
Crunchy snacks and fleshlights.
And herpes.
Crunch time episode.
Herpes laden fleshlights.
Yeah.
Crunchy herpes.
Oh, no. Ugh. All right, move on.
All right. Final question as of now from Zach of the Gaming Vault. Hey, coworker, what's up, buddy? What games are you currently playing? Also, what games are you almost looking forward to in the coming months? Keep up the great work. You fucking liar. We suck at this.
I'm playing Dinky Sports. Right now?
You're what?
No.
Dink?
What?
Oh, shit. What finished? Oh, that movie. My Jack Chan
Water
movie.
Sports?
No, God, I'm playing right now lots of League of Legends, a little bit of StarCraft 2. Huber and I are going to start Rayman Legends one of these weeks.
We were supposed to start Rayman Origins. But then we got into... We got a five and a half hour
spurt of League of Legends. That game is the devil.
I was supposed to play Rayman Legends, too. Ubisoft is like, oh, we're going to move it to the fall just fucking because.
I'm just glad that I can finally play League of Legends because I found a character that I'm not too bad at. And surprisingly enough, the character plays like a whirlwind barb. That's probably why I'm okay at it.
That
meant nothing to me.
What I'm looking forward to, nothing.
Oh, come on.
No, Monaco, What's Yours is Mine is coming out, I think, the 24th. That's probably the next game coming out that I'm going to put some time into, because that game looks fun as hell.
Injustice?
If hell were fun, it would be that.
Injustice?
I'm not looking forward to playing Injustice. I'm looking forward to buying the baller...
I want that fucking fight stick!
Because it's a... It's a tournament stick with an old school...
Bat top.
And light up buttons.
Oh, yeah.
It's hardcore.
Did we find out if that's an actual Sanwa stick?
It's the same thing as the sticks. Remember the stick I used to have?
Sanwa.
It's the same thing as that. Those tournament edition sticks, but it has a bat
top. But it has a bat top.
It has a pro
bat top. Yeah, I'm sold. I need that. I definitely need that.
What else am I looking? Well, Blood Dragon comes out on the 1st.
Yeah.
And which we're going to talk about in a bit.
Since you don't know what the hell you're saying, I'm going to say that I finally finished Bioshock Infinite.
Which we're going to talk about in a minute.
That was the shit.
What are you looking forward to coming out?
Looking forward to? Well, I was on the fence about Injustice, but I ended up scrapping it just because...
Why?
I'm not into fighting games.
I actually kind of really want a fighting game to get into right now. Mainly just because of how hardcore we got into Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah, we were
I was, dude, we were, like, all about... I made my own fight stick, like,
yeah, the fucking spray paint
is still on
still on my sidewalk from him painting it.
Yeah.
I told him, go outside, do it on the pavement across the street. What does he do? It right on my fucking sidewalk in front of my house. My landlord, who's my friend's parents, they know we're all gamers, is gonna go on the sidewalk one day and be like, who the fuck? Oh.
it's all my fault. I know.
Yeah, you're a dick.
I'm also pretty excited for Dead Island Riptide.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I loved the first one. It had a lot of problems, a lot of glitches and issues.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was cool, fun. Though. Go online cool with idea. A couple of friends, and it's a blast. It doesn't look like they fixed any of the problems
in
the first game.
I'm excited for... was it Wildstar? I'm trying to think of like the stuff that we saw.
Oh, yeah,
past.
Wildstar looks interesting.
Wildstar, I'm looking forward to, obviously, when Soulforge goes completely live on PC.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to, I know you're going to make fun of me for this, but Saints Row the Fourth.
I can't fucking wait for that game. I love Saints Row.
Let's see here. What else did I see at PAX that was really, really fucking awesome?
Aside from Metro, Last Light.
Oh, that new Double Fine game, Chrononauts or whatever. Time.
Oh, dude, freaking Dungeon Defenders 2.
Oh, yeah. Dungeon Defenders 2 looks awesome.
Really excited for that one, because Dungeon Defenders 1, I wasted so much time with that. And what's going to be really interesting about it is, from what we saw at PAX, what was it? Was that like two, three weeks ago now, right?
Something like that.
I
don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, speaking of that, were you going to do PAX Prime? Did you figure that out yet?
Nothing's been figured out.
Think about it. Let me know, because I did talk to Kyle. And if you don't want to go, or if you can't go, I'm going to roll out there, hopefully with a crew, and I'm going to try to cover it for the Gaming Vault, www.gamingvault.com. TheGamingVault.com?
Yes.
TheGamingVault.com.
Dungeon Defender.
THQ.
Dungeon Defender 2, there is going to be another multiplayer mode that is... exactly like League of Legends.
Yeah, no, it's for those who are familiar with Dungeon Defenders, it's cool. For those who aren't, it's sort of like a tower defense game, but it's third person, and you get to pick like warrior, wizard. It's got a unique art style, and you'll be like inside a dungeon, and you'll have like a crystal at the center, and you have to try and build towers, and you can also attack. But build towers, upgrade them.
But there's also like an items inventory system that's similar to like, you know, your typical like MMO kind of thing.
Yeah. So it was a tower defense
action RPG ish kind
of
thing.
And what they're doing with the sequel is they're making it more of a third person view.
They're MOBA. Still keeping everything. All the play styles that were in the first one are still in it,
but not immediately. They're launching the MOBA first, and they're going to see how that does, and then shortly thereafter they plan on launching the normal tower defense style, and if the MOBA takes off, they're gonna put a little bit more work on that and just delay the other version a little bit longer.
I was under the impression when we went and talked to the guys.
Oh, I talked to the developer for like 15 minutes or something, because I was
trying to get beta stuff.
Yeah.
Is all your banging coming through?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm like fidgety today. I apologize.
Go rub one out.
I apologize, viewers.
Let me think.
No, I did that earlier. I mean, I never do that. God doesn't let me do
that. What was that Marvel game that was getting demoed a lot?
Oh, I didn't care. It's just a Marvel-themed MOBA game. DC's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I can't get into MOBA games.
There's too many MOBAs coming out now. It's like, Dota 2 is really cool. League of Legends is really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, some of those other ones might be neat, but you saw how much time we have to put in the league just to get good at it.
Oh, my God. I'm at level 10. You have to be at level 30 before you even start really playing that.
I've been playing League for, like, a year and a half, and I'm still not level 30 because I don't play it enough. And it sucks because it's one of those things, it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
If you're not playing it enough, you're going to get your ass blasted like Tremors 3. And
I guess that's the reason I never got into MOBA-style games.
They're very interesting, and it's very rewarding when you have a good game with a good team. But if you do not have a good game with a good team, you're frustrated. You never want to play it again. Or like League has a lot of problems with who's on their servers, players being assholes, language barriers because like people on the servers are coming from other countries
everywhere.
Because I guess their servers are ass. And it's obnoxious. It's absolutely obnoxious. I went a week straight without being able to get into a good game.
Jesus.
And I quit for like 2 months because I just couldn't take it anymore. And now I'm back to playing it like 5 hours a day.
Anything else you're looking forward to playing? Something just came out this week that I didn't get to pick up yet, but I'll be doing it later tonight. Guacamelee for the PS3 and PS Vita.
What is that?
It's like a luchador side-scrolling beat-em-up.
I like beat-em-ups.
With
Double Dagger on.
Double Dagger.
Holla holla.
It looks more like along the lines of Shank instead of Double Dagger on.
Double Dagger on.
Yeah. Like, and
Streets of Rage.
From what I'm reading, it has like a lot of Metroidvania-style elements to it.
Ooh, I do like that.
I've heard nothing but good about it, but I don't know much about it. So I know I'm eager as hell to play it.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing I'm looking forward to, really, that's in the immediate future.
When is Luchador?
When is Tekken Cross Street Fighter coming out?
No, they'll probably show some stuff off at it at E3.
The E-Trips.
Because I know that it's...
They better.
I think they just had a screenshot of it or something.
They better.
But they didn't show
it. Well, I saw, like, a graphical thing of, like, how they're doing some of the Street Fighter characters Tekken
yeah,
style.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of cool. Some of them look
But you know
badass,
why that game doesn't matter? Because in under a month, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon
Blood
is coming
Dragon.
Out.
That game's going to be baller.
I cannot wait for that game.
Mark IV style, motherfucker.
Yeah, so
the game looks insane.
Yeah,
well, one of the best tutorials I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, so the viewers.
Fucking
now,
tutorials! I just want to kill
I love calling them viewers, even though they're not viewing this. We watched right before the podcast. We watched the leaked tutorial section of the game of Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which is a standalone expansion in the vein of really shitty. Straight to VHS 80s sci-fi action flicks, and it's absolutely hysterical. The whole tutorial is like making fun of itself the whole way
yeah.
through. Press A to prove that you have the capability to read, like stuff like that. It's really funny.
It's like, are you tired of these tutorials? Press or upgrade now to the premium.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're tired of these tutorials, you can subscribe to make them go. You can subscribe to Kobayashi,
whatever.
Yeah, tutorial service to make them go away and have the gameplay itself.
And the loading
for you.
Screens are a friggin' tracking icon, like a old VCR. Tracking.
Yeah, but it doesn't even show you
it
a progress.
Tracks.
It just tracks
back and forth.
Well, and what I love about the game is it not only is it making fun of all these tropes of old 80s sci-fi action flicks, but it's also making fun of the current state of the industry.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can't wait to play through it just to see how ridiculous those jokes get. And the gameplay looks fun, too.
I think the funniest part for me, the first time I really saw a lot about it, was how all the cutscenes are, like, straight out of an NES.
Yeah, they're all
pixel-style cutscenes.
Love that.
And then it's to the game. It's super high definition, neon colors, explosion.
It's sort of like
the top.
They're doing for Far Cry what they did for Double Dragon with Double Dragon Neon. They're giving this 80s neon color, over the top, ridiculous makeover,
and it looks like it's
lots
gonna
of
work
jokes.
Perfectly.
Yeah, no, it's gonna
I
be
think
fantastic.
I can't wait for this friggin' game.
I didn't even really get a chance to play a lot of Far Cry 3 because a lot of the times if I'm playing something on a console, my fiance's around, and she's like, hardcore, you know, like, don't beat up or kill animals.
as you're stabbing your way through the jungle.
And then I'm like, literally, like, couple missions in, you're like, oh yeah, hunt this thing, and then skin the fuck out of it, and it's like, shows all the meat of the thing, like, in your
but
head, and I'm like...
it's not a real animal, it's a digital animal.
Yeah, but still, it's kind
we're getting into a topic we should totally get into another
time. Yeah, I don't want to get into this at all.
Well, not me either, but the problem was, I couldn't necessarily play it around her, so I was just like, well, alright, I guess I'm not going to be able to play this game.
Well, if it's...
I can differentiate the whole thing, because I know it's just a game,
yeah.
But it's still, like, for her, it's still just shitty to watch.
What if it's like a fantasy game with non-real animals? Like, things that don't exist.
We really don't have to have this guy.
yeah,
I'm not,
just
like I said, I don't
curious,
have a
like,
problem.
Where the...
I don't have a problem
oh,
with
boy.
It. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying.
Before we get into the final thing, which is we're going to go into talking about BioShock Infinite, which was something we just recently played.
BioShock.
We have one more reader mail question from Javen.
Oh, is it frickin'... Is it Nvidia?
I can't wait to see what this is.
Oh, he didn't...
No, he didn't. He sent it. It goes to Joe.
Is it going to be... It's going to be Nvidia and ATI, which one's
better?
Javen
is a very opinionated person.
Good save.
I had words, but I almost got stabbed. Oh, no, he's covering his face.
God damn it.
What is it?
Okay.
What is it?
My question is... do you, with the letter U, not the word U.
Of course, because it's shaven.
Do you think there are more black PC gamers or girl PC gamers? LMFA.
All right, yeah.
All right, for
that's
backstory,
a
backstory, he is black.
Yeah, yeah, his image shows that he is black.
Javen is one of those people that you meet, and you think that he is the blackest kid you've ever met, and then he starts going into how sweet his PC build is, and how much of a hardcore PC... Like, the kid is smarter than the average bear. Like, but you'd never know it by looking at
him. I know what the answer isn't. Black girl PC gamer.
I don't really know.
I don't think I can answer this
because I don't want to get like shot.
Well, no.
I just stabbed.
I mean, obviously, it's not good to profile, but to be completely fair,
we already did.
To be completely fair, from a marketing standpoint, I think there is a. I would say that there's probably more.
I think there's more black gamers than female gamers.
I'm going to go out and say that there's more female gamers on PC because
The Sims.
If we're going to get into this,
oh my god,
well,
yeah,
not just The Sims, ugh, but Facebook is still PC games.
Well, that's not what Javen would be asking though.
But from his perspective,
if Javen were here, he'd be like, "Fuck Facebook." If you,
yeah, but I'm answering the question fairly.
Well, no. Here's the other thing that we're not taking into account. He said black gamers or girl gamers. There, he didn't say gamers. Huh?
Yeah,
huh?
True.
Huh?
True.
So there's going to be more black gamers. And I'm saying that simply because the state of gaming right now is, I think we're seeing more female gamers come into the scene,
yeah.
Because gaming has become more accessible in the past decade, and we're seeing a whole generation of people growing up with video games where we started growing up.
It was a very niche thing.
With it really just starting with games starting, and we got into it for whatever reason, and it doesn't mean like a lot of people didn't because games were different back then.
See, I'm really trying to think now, like which category would black girls be in? Would they be with the girls or with black gamers?
Well,
I would tend to think that they would be in both.
Would we? Would we just like write them off?
We're going too. We're going too much into the question.
Here's the thing. I did forget to take into account all female gamers with The Sims because my fiance included. There are
just casual games in general.
There are 5 or 6 expansions for The Sims 3 on that computer sitting right there right now.
Well, no. See, the biggest
because that's all. Like,
oh, sure, they're hers.
I've played it like for 2 hours. I put in the cheats to get as much money as I possibly could, and to see if I could buy all the shit. And
then you hung yourself.
Pretty much, yeah. I made sure that I deleted all of my doors, put all the carpets in my house, and lit all of the fireplaces.
All right. Let's move on from Javen's question. We spent way too much time on to begin with.
Listen, if we spent 20 minutes on who has the nicest ass,
that's true.
That's an important question. That was
so
laid out.
This.
That it was an important question.
So is this?
No, because it's a question that cannot be answered in the end of it, because
not necessarily.
It will lead into. It leads into the cultural issues between gamers and the gaming industry. It leads into the feminist issue of gamers and the gaming industry.
And we don't want to
women
talk about
in the gaming
what's
industry
her name
in general.
Anymore,
Anita Sarkeesian.
Yeah,
don't mention.
Yeah, I just, no, see that's the problem with the question is
no,
that
we're,
it's a bigger
exist.
Issue that we
she
can't even
exist. We're
go
not.
Into. And just checking the battery life here.
Yeah.
We're low. So, BioShock Infinite, you beat it.
Finally, yes, I beat it.
And what did you think of it?
Well, first off, if you're listening to this and you haven't beat BioShock Infinite, spoiler alert, so just skip ahead for a bit.
Spoiler alert,
well,
everyone dies.
Yeah, but you know what? I think this should
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody fucking died at the end.
No, not everybody died at the end.
Who didn't?
Elizabeth. And
how didn't she?
She's still alive.
How?
Okay, here's how the universe goes, and I actually saved the timeline thing on my desktop
for
this. Because
the end of the game was such a gigantic mindfuck to me.
No, because I didn't play the game.
It's not that bad. So here's what happened is
it was fucking sliders in video game form.
You fight the whole game going on is Elizabeth has these powers and she's getting she knows how to use them, but she's getting better with them, and you're sort of solving the mystery of why she has them, as well as why the city exists and for what purpose it has throughout the whole game. And right at the end, it's basically you kill the main bad guy, and you...
Who is you?
But, you find out that there are multiple dimensions, and the what happened was... After the battle at Wounded Knee, which you fought in, as Booker fought in, he felt horrible at all the atrocities he had committed. So he went to try and find peace with himself by trying to find God. And then he, in this universe, he decided, like, no, that's not me. That's not going to forgive me for what I've done. God isn't going to help me. And he goes off. Now, he has a child. After this point, he is still so grief-ridden that he doesn't know, like, what to do with himself. Now, also in a parallel universe, there are the Letices, the twins.
Yeah.
They are...
For that first half of the game, I just saw that as the Lettuce twins.
Yeah, they are seeing... They are developing a technology that, in another universe, the Booker who did accept God into his heart and made Columbia has them working on. And they open doors into other universes. And... Booker, the evil Booker, goes into this other universe because he wants a child, because his wife cannot give him a child. So he remembers, I have a child, you know, they open up this universe and see this other scrummy version of himself that is wasting away as this, you know, private eye or whatever, who hates himself for what he had done, and he's taking care of this kid, and he tells him, I can forgive you now. I will take away the debt that you owe in sin if you give me your child. So he gives up his child but changes his mind and freaks out and tries to get her back because he realizes this isn't gonna help anything.
Yeah.
And then when she goes through that portal and her finger gets cut off in that, now because there's a piece of her, of one person that exists in both universes, that's what gives her her powers. Because the universe is fucking up because there's no way that one person can exist organically in two different universes.
Yeah.
So she starts getting these fucked up powers that don't really make any sense. And
she could open the portals to the other world.
Yeah. And now the Letices, who realize they did a really fucking bad thing, because this could shatter the universe. Things are going to be unstable now, and that's why things are getting unstable as the game goes on. Like the weird time distortions and things like that with the tears. There is a problem with the universe that is happening, and this girl is way too powerful. So something needs to stop. So what they do is they go and they get a version of you who wants his daughter back, and they pull you into this universe. And they pull you in there, and they go, if you get the girl, we will repay the debt. But crossing the universes, as we saw with other characters and other things, starts having problems with...
Weird effects on
you. Yeah, weird effects on you, where your brain cannot comprehend it, so it starts trying to create logical leaps for the gaps in memories of why you made decisions, why you're here, what's going on. So you don't know what the hell is going on until the end, when you find out and it's explained that there are all of these other universes, and you decide, I need to stop this guy because look at all these horrible things that he's doing. You need to stop him no matter what to save Elizabeth, because you care about her and you know that she deserves this good life, not this horrible, you know, locked away thing, or the horrible future of her getting basically mind raped and causing some sort of apocalyptic event.
Yeah.
So she had figured out who you are and goes back to that one singular point, that point of baptism, where you either become a villain or, you know, or anything, or you just go on with your life and you allow yourself to be drowned by all the multiple versions.
Yeah.
But at the end, apparently there's only one Elizabeth left shown. Which means that there's one that still existed in one possible universe.
Yeah, but although the noise of that hit in the musical score, every time one disappeared, hit one last time and the screen went blank. Which to me, that was her disappearing and all of it disappearing.
Well,
that's how I interpreted that ending. But I'm assuming, because it's a Bioshock game, if you beat it on 1999 mode, there's another little extra ending, which I haven't looked up. I'm not sure if it's there.
I haven't looked at it either. And actually, I read 1999 mode's options wrong. If I knew, because I played it through the hardest difficulty available, if I knew what that setting was, I would have put in the code to just access it from the start.
Konami code.
Yeah, it's the Konami code.
What is 1999?
It's just like a harder version of the game that has different limitations on what you can do and health regen and all that stuff.
And if you die and you can't afford the respawn point, game over.
You have to go back to your last save. You can't respawn. So it's just more difficult. But I think that the after the credit scene of him hearing her and going into the other room, I think that's what that is. Is it's because when you think about it, there's technically another up. When you get to the idea of multiple universes and things like that, there could be a universe that was divergent where he didn't die.
Yeah,
he wasn't drowned. You know,
that's why. That's why I said the ending is just like a mind fuck.
Yeah, there could be an ending where he goes home. He never goes to the baptism thing, and he is a good father. And Elizabeth grows up. You know what I mean?
The actual game itself, though, amazing game. Except for that siren battle that you warned me about last week,
and it was fucking awful. Yeah, that was awful. And did you notice though? They seemed like they wanted to have this giant open world, and originally what I thought was the skyhooks were going to connect all these different places in this open world, but instead, when they realized that they couldn't do it, they made the skyhooks just in these chunks that loop around the chunks, which it honestly doesn't make any goddamn sense, because if I can walk up the street, why do I have these weird skyrail things going around? There's no point to them. They do have them connecting certain chunks, but when it's just a city block, like, it's kind of...
Yeah.
You can tell it was just for gameplay, and...
It was still fun.
It was still very fun.
I'm kind of pissed. It took me until, like, over half into the game before I realized you could speed up and slow down on those things. I'm trying to kill people, and I'm like, this is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
And I just bumped the stick down the one time, like, son of a bitch, I could stop on this.
Yeah. Ugh,
this would have made so much... things so much easier if I knew about this before.
I really would have loved to have seen the full vision go where it is an open world game, because I think it would have been amazing. I was thinking earlier today too,
maybe Infinite, like, 2.
I really want an Oculus Rift, the VR headset that's coming out. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's the guys who did guys at id Software, I think, did this, and they redid like Doom 3 to use it. And it is a VR headset that works incredibly well. Team Fortress 2 has been adapted to use it, too. And apparently it's, like, it's amazing. Like, from all accounts, it's small, too. It's got a very small thing on your head.
It's not like a Virtual Boy.
No, it's not. It's nothing like what you conventionally think of for a VR headset.
You strap it with shackles.
See, what's weird about it, and this is what kind of threw me off about it, but I'm sure you can get used to it.
Yeah.
What's weird about it is, let's say I'm sitting in this chair, okay, and I'm looking straight ahead, 12 o'clock, and I'm running around with my character in Team Fortress. If I want to turn to see my 3 o'clock, I move my head to turn to the 3 o'clock. I don't have to move my character.
Yeah.
You can literally just turn your body and turn your head, and then all of a sudden you're looking that way in the game.
I think I did see a video about this.
Which is fucking weird as shit.
Was there like a promo video of it?
There was a guy sitting at a table with a controller going through like some of their demos.
Like some kind of medieval thing, a knight with a sword walking around like looking around.
Yes.
Okay, then yeah,
There was like a village.
Yeah.
There were like three different sceneries that they gave them.
Yeah,
And they looked fucking ridiculous.
I'm really, like, really excited for this, because games like Bioshock that have that atmosphere and that world...
That'll be crazy.
Well, I think... See, I didn't get to get as absorbed into Bioshock as I wanted to, because something felt... I felt disconnected from the world. I don't know why. Like, I can't really explain it, but... If I had something like this, for the games that I play for the story and getting absorbed in it and being a part of this world, that's going to be amazing. Like, I'll be able to walk down a city street in a game and I'll be able to be like, I'll be able to look around. If I hear a guard yell, I'll be like, oh shit, you know, I'll be able to look. Like, it'll be a reaction. Yeah. And you really will be able to get pulled into it. I think that would have lended really well to something like BioShock, and I'm curious to see if...
when is that supposed to go live?
In like May or June. It's soon.
That soon?
Well, yeah, it's been... Wow. You can buy a development kit, and they ship as soon as they're basically ready to ship to you.
Wow. So. That's crazy.
And then maybe next gen, right? Except for the Wii U.
Well, no, it's going to be a PC thing. The reason why we won't see this on a console is the same reason why the Virtual Boy failed, is because another person cannot see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the player is doing. What matters to the company and the marketing team is you have to be able to, like, show your friends. You have to be able to play, you know, play Call of Duty and be like, look how fun this is. Look
fucking
how
A,
awesome
bro.
This is, you know? Like, that's the goal. When
fucking
you,
knifed you, bro.
As soon as it becomes a personal experience, it becomes a niche experience.
Dude, playing Counter-Strike with that headset, it's going to be amazing.
That's gonna be fucking rough.
That's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be rough, bro.
It's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna be knifing all day. All day.
But anyways, we don't have any more email.
No more questions.
No?
So it looks like the Vaultcast, SML Vaultcast viewer mail special is over.
Well, yeah, but I mean, are we gonna do that a little bit for each episode?
Well, yeah, if we get reader mail,
if we get them.
Well, they do have to start sending in... ideas for what S, M, and L will stand for.
Squishy Man Love.
That's your entry?
Squishy. Yes.
We're not allowed to enter.
No, we could send them in anonymously.
Squirrel Meat Lips.
Hip Hop Anonymous.
Hip Hop Anonymously. I'm trying to think if there was anything like that I wanted to touch up on.
Nah, I figure we could just end the... If you watched WrestleMania this week and we're pissed off by it.
Fuck
WrestleMania.
Oh my god.
But we're then redeemed by watching Raw. Raw this week was fantastic.
It was okay.
Don't think of the Attitude Era. Don't.
You can't not think about the Attitude Era.
It's gone. WWE ignores that it ever happened.
Wrestling ever happened.
Yeah, we know.
Well, here's the thing. I used to be really, really into wrestling. I caught WrestleMania last year.
What he's trying to say is he really used to be into lubed up men on the television screen. He used to be really into them. Like, Gravity. I'm talking like 6 inches deep into them.
Balls deep.
Last year I watched WrestleMania on a whim because like a buddy of mine was having it over at his house. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go over and watch it. Now this year it was like, you know what? I really wanted to see the Undertaker CM Punk match. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go over to Large's house. And, because he invited myself and my fiance over to watch it. And we came over to watch it. And I was thoroughly disappointed with the entire production as a whole. The CM Punk and Undertaker match was okay.
No, Punkertaker delivered.
It was okay.
You're just pissed because Punk lost.
Well, yeah, but
the match itself was great.
See, now here's the thing. I grew up with matches like fucking like Undertaker Mankind. Like that's like I watched that when it happened.
Yeah, me too.
Like to be so into wrestling when I was younger and how awesome it was, and then like come back now and see where it's at now.
You
like,
gotta remember, Undertaker's 15 years older now.
I understand that.
He only wrestles once a year.
But last year it was Rock and Cena. Once in a lifetime. And then one year later, it's Rock vs. Cena twice in a lifetime.
Yeah,
like,
not, I don't
like,
watch wrestling.
Fuck that, man.
Last year was supposed to be Undertaker's final match.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, no.
No, there were rumors for years that it was his final match.
But my main thing is, they don't give a fuck about what people actually want in wrestling.
No, that's why at Raw, the crowd made themselves heard.
Well, right, but I should want to watch a show or a production because I like the production, not because of the people calling the production out on how shitty it is.
I think that's what made this week's Raw so good.
That was what made it palatable for me. Everything else to me was just like, meh, whatever. Because you're saying that the one thing that you liked was the whole Money in the Bank thing? That was what you really enjoyed, right?
Out of what?
Money
in
the Bank?
Yeah.
I liked everything about Raw this week.
What was your main thing?
The crowd.
I'm talking about the production.
I watched wrestling for the crowd. I thought the entire episode was just fantastic.
I saw everything coming from a mile away. And I only watched WrestleMania, and I hadn't watched wrestling in years. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That guy had this thing where you have the briefcase and you could.
You saw Barrett winning it back?
Absolutely.
How did you see that happening?
Because of the way that you reacted yesterday, or with WrestleMania. You're like, wait, Barrett, I really wish Wade Barrett would have won. And then the next day, I was just like, oh, wait, he's got an opportunity. Yeah, I bet you he's going to fucking win it back. And then, boom, it happened.
How many times do you see people have a title for a day? It rarely happens.
You don't remember much of the Attitude Era, do you?
Yes, I do.
You remember the hardcore 24/7 rule where people were losing them?
That's its own separate thing.
But people were losing the title within 5 minutes of having it?
Yes.
New champion! Oh, wait a minute! Yay, new champion!
if it lasted 5 minutes.
Right.
I'm talking like a legit real title.
That was what made wrestling interesting to me. There were plenty of things that made wrestling interesting to me back in the day. Now, all of it's gone. Just the fact that, like, when we were watching WrestleMania, and, like, the only thing that I saw was, like, a couple chair shots, and, like, oh, we ran into the stairs. That was, like, that would have been in the first match of WrestleMania's past. And everything past then would have gotten progressively
It's been
cooler.
Different for a decade now because of their whole PG bullshit. Which
well,
I
sucks to be them, and I'll never watch it again.
I hate the PG bullshit. I hate it. I wish they would go back to TV-14. I wish there would be blood. I miss the chair shots to the head, but I can understand the reason they don't do that anymore.
I've taken plenty of chair shots from when I was wrestling before.
Dude, after the Benoit thing.
It sucks.
That's the guy who needs shoulder surgery.
Hey, fuck you. That is completely unrelated.
Dude, after the Benoit thing, they're taking the whole concussion and brain injury a lot more serious, which I can understand.
I can understand that too, but it comes with the territory. Just like me, like I'm going to probably going to have to get my shoulder operated on because I've torn my rotator cuff.
Because he was wrestling.
Because I went and played a show and I was playing my kazoo too hard. But I know that
that's
comes.
What she said.
Yeah, and I was quotes around that kazoo.
I know that comes with the territory. I know that comes with the territory for me,
the gaming vault,
a performer,
ladies and gentlemen.
So I know that I'm taking a risk by being a performer as a profession. But that's something that I've already understood and I've come to terms with. So I'm gonna.
There's a difference between understanding that you're going to take a risk as a performer and doing a job that
for a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Well, no. Having a performance job that is inherently physically dangerous. Because I mean, a drummer, unless you get in a fight. But I mean,
you'd be surprised. That happens a lot more.
Wrestling guys, if they fuck that up, broken neck.
That's
if you fuck up,
why you have to train?
If you fuck up, no unison bonus.
Yeah, no unison bonus.
I mean that's.
But that there are a lot more professions than just performing that take that into consideration.
The fallopian tuba.
But again, it comes down to WWE, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, not wanting its name drugged through the mud because another one of its performers. Further through the mud, is that better? Because another one of its performers fucking snapped because of brain damage over the years and murdered his family.
But it's also probably because they take any old fucking schmuck that they can run with and market, at least from what I can see. Like I said, I've only watched wrestling for Monday and Sunday.
Well, then you're
and
not.
The last time I've watched
you're not
wrestling
qualified
to
enough
that,
to enjoy this episode.
Barely qualified.
I'm barely barely qualified.
All right, we gotta wrap this up.
I think we can all agree
that wrestling
that
sucks.
You and
I understand.
I can
you're
agree
right.
That one of the highlights of the episode was
the funniest thing I ever, and I'm including Attitude Era. on this one.
Oh, God.
The only thing that I thought was really cool about this episode, this guy has this really shitty, like salsa cha-cha intro music. So the crowd started, like, as soon as the match started, the crowd was, like, singing the music. Like, for the entire match. For the whole match.
So good.
It was hysterical.
So fucking good.
Because at first I'm like, I'm listening to it and I'm like, is that the crowd doing that? Yeah. did they just forget to turn the guy's music off? Or like, what the fuck is going on right now?
And then he got his ass kicked and they hit his music and you can hear them all singing along. And apparently they did it all through the night.
Oh yeah, because
they
heard it like...
leaving the arena, they were honking it on their horns. So we are going to end this episode with fun. Go.
By any means. Meh.